College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are rocking and rolling here on a Friday. We've got Felix Johnson in to help us out a little bit here with our Chiefs coverage. We appreciate Felix being back with us this week on Sports Daily. Felix, this is the real week, right? This is the week it's supposed to get done. This is the week of work for these teams, and no team right now knows how to do it better than the Chiefs. They seem to do it every year lately.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. I said this a long time ago, but I think the worst thing you can give a defensive coach is momentum, some time, like this, a sack on a early in a drive that can really rough things up. I think the worst thing you can give an offensive coach is time. And that's obviously true with Andy Reid. He's incredible off a bye week, incredible in week one. And obviously we've seen in the Super Bowl, they've come out with incredible game plans. And even if it doesn't come out until late in the second half or whatever it may be, I mean, I was rewatching some highlights from Super Bowl 54. The Chiefs were down 10 with 7 minutes to go and still won by 11. So, and I know that's a completely different Chiefs team and everything, but at the same time, I think that the worst thing you can give Andy Reid is a week to figure something out.
I would love to be in the room with Steve Spagnuolo as he is trying to game plan this Eagles offense, and especially after watching what Philly did to the Commanders in the NFC Championship game, and you know Saquon's number of touchdowns, and Jalen Hurts getting into the end zone, and all of that. It's going to be just probably the ultimate chess match to see what Spagnuolo does compared to this high octane Philly offense. What do you think, as we're a little over a week away from the game, some of the key factors should be that Steve Spagnuolo should take a look at?
Well, I think that obviously Saquon Barkley, he's having one of the greatest running back years we've ever seen. And that's pretty crazy coming off of an offseason where we didn't think running backs were valuable at all. And so I think that it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be basically, to me, the same game plan that was in 57, in Super Bowl 57, where basically Jalen Hurts, go ahead and try and beat us through the air. And he had a great game, but at the end of the day, he had a massive play that went the wrong direction for him, and that became the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. So I think it's going to be like, all right, put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands, but Saquon's not beating us on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't know. So here's the way I look at it. Felix Johnson joining us here. Felix writing for Field Vision, for Arrowhead Addict, covering the Chiefs. You don't want to let Saquon get you, but I think the Chiefs would rather them try that than let Jalen Hurts run, than let him throw with those receivers, because I think the Chiefs are better equipped to handle Saquon than most. Now, I don't know how you handle him this year, but their corners can tackle, right? Mm-hmm. You watch that play he broke off against Washington. That's not likely to happen to the Chiefs. They're not going to have three dudes in their secondary miss tackles that way. And
right,
so
right.
I think they're more comfortable with trying to handle Saquon than trying to allow Jalen Hurts to do the things that we've seen them struggle with over the years, which is a quarterback start running all over the place, pick up those third downs, extend drives. I think they would rather have it go into Jalen Hurts' hands through the air than on the ground. And I think that's what you have to make sure he doesn't do is run around. He's healthy. He looked fine. So that, to me, that's priority one. Don't let him get momentum running the ball.
Right, and I think so much of what Philadelphia's been able to do and what they've been able to do since, I don't know, since forever, since they fired Andy Reid, honestly, is they've had an incredible offensive line year in and year out, and that's what they've done this year. They're moving furniture up front. You guys are talking to a former offensive lineman. I love the way their front is playing. I just don't necessarily see – the front being this Kansas City front, after what we've seen Chris Jones be able to do in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl specifically, we've seen Charles Omenihu, like, I love the clip that came out this weekend of him saying, I finally get to play in the Super Bowl. But like, oh, wow, Charles Omenihu finally gets to play in the Super Bowl. That's really huge for the Chiefs. Then George Karlaftis having a huge role in the pass rushing attack. And then FAU coming along in the last couple of weeks. They've had Mike Dana having his little spurts every now and then. So I think the Chiefs' defensive line is just too good. And I might be wrong about this because the Eagles' offensive line might be the best in the world. Yeah. But at the same time, I think the Chiefs' defensive line won't allow this offensive line to start climbing the linebackers and safeties. Therefore, Saquon's going to get tackled by Nick Bolton, Reed, and Trent McDuffie.
Felix, I've been talking about this all week long after the AFC Championship game. To me, it was one of the more important offensive game plan decisions that was made in the game for Kansas City against the Bills. And that was some of these designed runs for Patrick Mahomes where he rolled out to his right. He could have passed the football, but instead he kept it and he ran for first downs. That happened a couple of different times where that's not new in his career, but kind of new this year. It's a different wrinkle in the offense for Kansas City. Even Greg Rousseau, you know, mentioned after the game that there were some of those plays that they weren't ready for. They had never seen before defensively for the Buffalo Bills. How important do you think that wrinkle was in what the Chiefs did last week? And do you think we'll see much more of that in the Super Bowl?
Well, and a harmless little plug here, but my article that went out on Field Vision this week kind of went through the West Coast offense and talking kind of a lot about Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren, and Andy Reid. And I wish I would have had, I went over 1,000 words and that was, I got in trouble for that, but that's neither here nor there. But,
2025, Felix.
It's
do that
fine.
Anymore, right?
It's fine. It's whatever. I got to hit publish on it. It's up to me. But I think that the interesting part about Andy Reid's early career is that he was uber conservative, and we still see it every now and then on a fourth and short from like our own 40-yard lines. Like, got Patrick Mahomes, go ahead and get those 2 yards real quick. You want to see Andy Reid be that guy, and I think that it's really interesting to see post Patrick Mahomes hurting himself or dislocating his kneecap, Matt Moore comes in for 3 games in 2019. They don't call a designed run up until last year's Super Bowl and this most recent game. 3 times in 5 years, the Kansas City Chiefs decide to go for a designed quarterback run, whereas you see on Buffalo's side, every 2 seconds, it's like, all right, Josh, here's the ball, figure it out. And so I really enjoy that Andy Reid has, I mean, it's crazy to say this about a 60-something-year-old coach who's been around as long as he has, but he's matured into realizing, like, oh, yeah, I've got Patrick Mahomes. He's going to figure it out. We can give him the option of, all right, we can pass it, we can run it, whatever it is, he's going to make the right play, the correct play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. Plus, Mahomes just does it in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Go look at his Super Bowl number. Like, this is his comfort zone. I feel like there's about a 100% chance, Felix, that we have a highly significant late game tush push. Like the planets are aligning for this. The stars are aligning for this. The Eagles are the best at it. And the Chiefs, they're kind of showing they're the best at defending it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. Like we're going to have a key spot in this game where it's like, all right, here we go. What do you like? Do you think that they can pull? They obviously they did a great job on the broadcast of talking about how the Chiefs had a very specific plan for the Bills and the way they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they can replicate the success they had defensively against it when they're playing the Eagles?
I'm not sure what the free agency situation looks like right before the Super Bowl, but I say go sign Frankie Louvu. I think you go get Frankie Louvu and tell him to do exactly what he did, because honestly, it's. The tush push is one of the most frustrating plays in football to me, because we talk about the defense being at such a disadvantage all of the time, except for in that moment, because the defense can't really tush push themselves. They can't really time it up correctly. I think Frankie Louvu did his best to figure it out. And in that spot, it was really, it's just such a weird spot for an official to come in and say, we can give this team the score, even though they haven't scored quite yet. And Frankie Louvu and the Commanders decided we're in a spot to do something like this. But I think that the Chiefs and the Bills, they run that play so differently because they have two such different quarterbacks. Josh Allen's so upright and vertical in the way he plays. And Jalen Hurts, for lack of a better term, is a bulldog. He's going right. It's a tush push with him. He's going directly behind his center and pushing his tush as well, along with getting his tush push. I hate this play more than anything.
We've said the word tush a lot here in the last couple of minutes.
Even before we started talking about
that's very true. Hey, one thing that I think has been so much fun to follow throughout the playoff run and really even going back to the regular season and now that, you know, it's culminating in the Super Bowl is Kareem Hunt's redemption story and the fact that, you know, he's finally getting to play for a Super Bowl with the Chiefs after everything that transpired with him. And, you know, it was something that I've been, you know, kind of advocating for throughout the playoffs is that I feel like he should be running back one with this offense in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that Isaiah Pacheco doesn't have a very useful role, but I just think with what Kareem Hunt brings to the table, the Chiefs are better off when they lean on him more. And they did that in the AFC Championship to really good results, I feel like.
I agree with you in certain spots. I think it's more of like a 50-50 role between Pacheco and Kareem, just because that's how Andy Reid's going to do things. If he doesn't have a Brian Westbrook or LeSean McCoy, he's just going to have a running back by committee. My biggest thing is that it's probably not going to matter. Vic Fangio's best game plan in this particular game is probably to keep Kansas City in second and long and third and long, and that's by stopping the run. And Kansas City, Andy Reid doesn't like to run the ball until the fourth quarter sometimes, and so he might get away with 12 rushes all the way halfway through the third quarter. And so it may not even matter which guy's getting more carries or whatever it is, because it comes down to, yeah, Patrick Mahomes and these receivers are going to have to figure it out on second and long, third and long, and maybe fourth and long.
Felix, let's do it again next week one more time here. You can go find all Felix's coverage ahead of the big game at Field Vision at Arrowhead Attic. You can follow him on X at Felix R. Johnson. We appreciate it. We'll do it again one more time. We'll get some predictions and have a little more time to stew on what should be an incredible Super Bowl matchup.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, gentlemen.
There goes Felix Johnson. Always appreciate that. Great coverage there. Great insight there. And we'll continue that next week as we get ready for the Super Bowl, Tommy. Just we're there now. Like now is all the silliness. All the silliness begins now for the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Can I just say also, I'm really glad that we have a week off. As much as I love football, as much as I love the NFL, this week has been long and exhausting. If we had the Super Bowl this weekend on top of it, of everything else, I'm not sure I would have been able to get through the week. So it's been nice to have this week off. And I'm not a Pro Bowl guy. I don't think I'm going to get into the Pro Bowl really at all. I mean, I think that there were some Pro Bowl things that happened last night. I don't know. I didn't really follow it.
I don't know. It's been a long week for a lot of reasons. A lot of people are sick right now. And of course, our entire city is emotionally sick about what happened just a few days ago. We're going to bring TJ Cleland in on that. TJ, is so good at doing, put on his news hat yesterday and covered the U.S. figure skating angle of the tragedy. So we'll bring a little of his insight from how that's affecting the sports community just in a really wide-reaching and tragic way. But that's next. We'll tell you how you can help these families and these victims, too. There is a way to do that now, and that's been set up. So we'll do that off the top of the next hour. Also coming up in the next hour, we'll get to this story. It's just weird, man. This game fixing potential, you know, Jontay Porter was involved in that. And now Terry Rozier, and there's some claims that it goes down to college basketball and a team in the American is listed as one of these teams. Some really strange stuff. And it does bring up some interesting legislation that's potentially out there as it pertains to all this. I mean, Pandora's box is open. We're not going back now. So how do we make it better? We'll get into that as well in the second hour. Get you ready for a college basketball weekend. That's all coming up. Sports Daily, hour two, coming up next. Don't go away.